Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 4th on the West Coast, now February the 5th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would also like to welcome those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. We appreciate you joining us. Hope you find tonight's show very interesting. Well, I've had an interesting week here. We've done a number of shows exposing corruption in the Federal Reserve and the fact that the Inspector General of the Federal Reserve has not investigated where all the bailout money has gone. I played a clip Monday night with Dr. A. Truott as my guest. And it was really mind-blowing, but not surprising that, Seth, if you're listening, we have a commercial running in the background. Oh, thank you. Okay. all right. Anyway, as I was saying, it wasn't surprising that no one's minding the store, so to speak. In fact, when asked if she was looking at records at all as to what banks or what entities were receiving these enormous sums of money, adding up now to well over $2 trillion, she should have simply responded, which set of books are you speaking about? And that would have handled it right there. But, of course, she probably, that would have been her last hearing, I'm sure. Nonetheless, we had a great show Monday night. Tuesday night, I spoke about the amount of indoctrination that several generations have endured here in the United States, thanks to the KGB and their agents and corrupt people, traitors in the U.S. government. And that's still going on today. I can assure you it's still going on. It's not a thing of the past. And it's massive, but it's not impossible to end it. Now, with these stories, and of course, Wednesday night was sort of a blockbuster story because we revealed several false flag events that occurred in the United States, 23 to be exact, that were ready to all go off at the same time. They were synchronized to produce absolute chaos across this nation and probably kill tens, if not hundreds, of millions of people. And it's not about fear-mongering, it's just the truth. And there was an event in Israel that we talked about, and we're going to discuss that a little bit more in light of the fervent effort to produce hoax videos, which are obviously hoaxes, to try to debunk what we covered Wednesday night with my guests Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. Before we bring on tonight's guest, though, I want you to consider what it would be like to have a thorny, put a T in front of that word, thorny heart, or a heart full of thorns. In Spanish, they call that corazón espinado.
Thank you.
from Carlos Santana on his Supernatural CD that was Corazón Espinado. I should have just read it that way. nothing like a thorny heart these days. We're dealing with people who have thorny hearts. The attacks on truth, on the truth, are fruitless. And the attacks on the people who are bringing the truth forward, the messengers, are going to be fruitless. It's pretty simple to see. We have another truth seeker with us tonight. He's my regular Friday night guest and co-host, our resident science advisor, who is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, my good friend Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to Heaven and Footprints.
Thank you, Don. It's always good to be with you. How are you tonight?
I'm in rare form.
Yes. I witnessed that a little bit earlier.
Thank you. Well, you know, your mind is going faster than your mouth, or vice versa. And those things happen sometimes. I don't do it that often, but it's funny. We can laugh at it.
Oh, absolutely. You can't take life too seriously.
Yeah. I know this has been a busy week for you with the work that you're doing, and I don't know how much you're able to stay abreast of things, but I know that you have a concern about some legislation that was tucked inside a bill, hidden beneath the rocks, so to speak, and the snakes. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about that, if you would.
Yes, actually, I was concerned about it. Not that these things don't go on, but I just was originally interested in calling it to the attention of the public so that they would see the crafty ways that these cockroaches try to accomplish things. But as it turns out, when I was researching this situation a little bit more, so I'd have more to say about it, I learned something that's very interesting, and I think that the message is going to carry a lot more weight than I originally thought it would.
Okay.
What I was concerned about originally, Don, was the fact that there is some kind of an aviation bill that was going to be sent through, and embedded in this, there was a ruling that would have made it illegal for magazines that carry more than five rounds of ammunition to be possessed by anybody. And of course, I guess you realize that if you've got an assault rifle that carries a 30-shot clip and you can't get the clips because they're illegal, it may not put the rifle out of commission, but it certainly has a bearing on the way in which it can be used.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they are willing to use this type of subterfuge was really annoying to me. I mean, in the first place, that whole mechanism that they make use of should be illegal, you know, just by definition. That would be sort of like saying, you know, that John Doe runs for public office, and after he's elected, he says, well, you know, I think I'm just going to give this job to my cousin Louie because I don't feel like doing it, and nobody raises a stink about it. This isn't any different than that. You know, they're supposedly putting through a bill to modify something having to do with the aviation rules, and all of a sudden you find that they're passing an anti-gun law embedded in the thing. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I got a hold of the person who had sent me the original information because I wanted to find out more about it. And I don't know how much time had passed. I would say probably the better part of a day because I really wasn't on top of my email, you know, the way I usually am. We've had some terrible snowstorms and stuff here, and the week has just been really chaotic as opposed to the way I'm used to having my time organized. But anyway, when I called him back, I would estimate that a day had gone by since he sent me the email. And I was telling him that I was interested in finding out more about it. And he said, well, he said, I'll tell you what I know, but it's not going to come to anything. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, he said, the public raised such a stink over this particular tactic that they actually withdrew the rider from the main federal aviation bill. And, of course, they'll probably try and stick it somewhere else. They're always trying to stick it, as you know. But the
Do you mean literally or figuratively?
Probably both.
Okay.
But the point is, I think that this little story has a positive ending because here's a pretty good example of the fact that the public still has a lot of clout. There still has a lot of power. These maggots, you know, retracted that because enough people descended upon them when they heard about it, and that made them uncomfortable. And it just goes to show you that that works. You know, you do have the upper hand. You just got to get in the habit of using it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in my opinion, it had a very positive outcome. And my message to you is, you're the ones in charge. All you have to do is realize it and make use of it. And that's my little say.
Well, I appreciate that. We've been saying that all week long. We've been saying that on the show for years now. Just about every show that topic comes up in the form of an admonition or encouragement. Certainly it's a solution. There are things going on that people don't know about. And they don't know about it because these things are being suppressed, whether they are advancements in science, someone getting caught in major fraud, banks embezzling money from the very institutions they are alleged safeguarding their depositors' money and accounts and safety deposit boxes. And then you have the government giving them money as they steal the money. They're giving them more. It's as simple as that. This is nothing but organized crime. We've talked about this ad nauseum. And still, the jackbooted thugs and their minions climb out from underneath the rock when the sun goes down. And they start sending emails or they start posting things on YouTube, trying to confuse people or trying to give an opposing view of something. And it's totally fraudulent what they do. And, this past weekend I got one of these spam emails and I decided to go down the rabbit hole on it. And I can connect the guy that sent this out with the NSA. And with a multi-million-dollar corporation that has government contracts. And the guy has all kinds of lottery websites and probably pornography websites. And he's got websites showing pictures of young kids who appear to be indoctrinated into Satanism. Now, you know, I'm not trying to be heavy Bible-thumping host on this show tonight. That's not what this is about, but what I saw was hundreds of pictures of people who definitely have to be mind controlled, and based on the business that this guy is in, and this will be revealed in the very near future, who this person is and who this company is and the kind of things that are going on under the guise of security and safety of the people. There is no safety with these criminals, with these Satanists. And something was brought to my attention this evening, and I spent about a minute doing research, and Here it's the same clown that sent me this email over the weekend. He's the guy that posted the bogus YouTube videos trying to debunk a real video that was taken of a very serious event that occurred in Jerusalem on the 28th of January. And I did a whole show on that event this past Wednesday. So would it be a surprise to see fake UFO videos come out on YouTube? And they're ridiculous. Disney could do a better job than the guy that did these, but nonetheless, they're fake. And this is how desperate they are to hide the truth, that they have to pull fakery and put it out there. And knowing that a lot of people look to the internet for truth, so when somebody says, well, this is a hoax, this thing is a hoax, and then they create a hoax video, which is supposed to debunk the real one. I mean, what kind of insanity is on this planet, Jim? You know, it's quite simple. Now, this is a Hegelian dialectic. There's no doubt about that. In fact, the people that are involved in all of this attempts to debunk the truth, themselves are criminals. There are court records of these people committing criminal acts on their own companies, embezzling from their own companies. So if, you know, anybody from the NSA doubts my ability to get to the bottom of who's harassing who's putting disinformation out there, or other researchers' ability, think again. It's not as hard as you think it is. Somebody can hide behind an alias and put up a website in France, and his address shows up in California. Same guy. Absolutely the same person. It's not a coincidence. So I can assume that the guy with the government contract is assigned to go after certain talk show hosts or journalists, investigators, truth tellers, to try to hoodwink the public into thinking that this person is just making all this stuff up. And they know darn well I'm not. That's the interesting thing about it, Jim, is they know I'm telling the truth, you see. So they have to show these things so everybody else sees them, so they can brainwash the masses. And if I sound like I'm angry, I'm not. I'm just emphasizing the point of how ridiculous this is, how the people's money is being wasted on corruption and trying to cover up the corruption and trying to stop the truth from coming out. Your comments.
Well, I got a whole bunch of comments, but I think I'm going to just restrict my remarks to a couple. While you were talking, there's a whole bunch of stuff that went through my mind about fraudulent UFO sightings, because don't forget, I was very, very into that field a number of years ago, and even though I haven't met any aliens, it did guide me into a very interesting series of situations, which we've talked about in the past. But I did see quite a few of the fraudulent UFO photos from years gone by. I haven't seen any lately. But I remember one in particular that was taken, and there was much ado about it, and it was supposed to have been, you know, this UFO and what have you. And it was a very unusual one because it showed the ship supposedly blasting away from the Earth at about a 30-degree angle with respect to the horizon. And you could see in the rear of the photo, although it was slightly blurred from the rotational action of the ship, you could see what appeared to be like a the vista from a, or the canopy would be a better word, from the cockpit, or like a rear view cockpit. And so there was all kinds of commotion made about it, and somebody had the gumption to actually take the shot and do some kind of an analysis on it. And it turned out to be a hubcap that somebody threw up in the air, and while it was spinning, somebody else took the shot against a background of mountains and trees, and it actually looked pretty convincing, but the canopy turned out to be the emblem of the company who made the hubcap, and it was one of the major automotive companies. And after you blew the thing up and got rid of the blur, it was right there for you to read the name, you know, and it was pretty funny at the time. But I agree with you that these hoaxes and stuff are definitely capitalized upon, because if they can get everybody to believe that they're all hoaxes, then obviously it's a demerge from the, you know, from the truth. And that seems to be the way they handle all sorts of things. You know, it's the old story about, look what I'm doing here. Don't pay any attention to my left hand, you know, that type of thing. But I think that the public is now, maybe not everybody, but I think a lot of the public is really waking up to these tactics and to the fact that they are dealing with a very corrupt and heartless organization that cares about nothing but themselves. The thing that I think is different from the old days when people still felt that the government was a truthful, well-intentioned organization that had our best interests in mind. I think nowadays they know that that's not the case. They know that it's a corrupt organization. The difference is that they're now in that limbo area where they feel that there's nothing they can do about it, and they're just hoping for the best possible outcome. And it may not sound like it, but that's a kind of I guess you could say it's a sort of progress. What I would like to see is the third step to come along, which relates to my opening remarks about the fact that we indeed have the authority as well as the power to squash these bugs if we decide to do so. And was it you who said we surround them? I certainly believe that.
Yeah, well, I've made some comments similar to that. There's a lot more of us than there are of them. There's a heck of a lot more of us than there are of them. And, you know, it comes to a point where one has to make a decision. How long am I going to put up with this crap? How long are we going to put up with it? It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop, and it's not going to unless we stop it. That's the bottom line. And, you know, there is help from outside this realm as well. That's the whole reason for the attempts to try to debunk a video. Actually, I, as you well know, Jim, I wasn't in Jerusalem. I didn't make the original video, but it's real. Very real. It was photographed in a way that eliminates the possibility of committing fraud, because you have a conversation going on and you have one of the participants in the video in the foreground. And most of the anomalous events that are occurring within the video are just happening by themselves. And it's pretty hard to get that into a flash drive without having a lot of money to work with production. Someone would have to have tons of money. On the other hand, the videos that purport to debunk the original video are themselves hoaxes. So is the person that created it and posted it on YouTube. And I guarantee you that person and his organization and those with whom he works will be exposed. It's not rocket science, okay? And it wasn't a UFO, actually. We know who the craft belonged to. And it falls in line with the 23 false flag events that were planned for this country. And we're stopped. 23 events, 23 nuclear events, Jim. Now, we hear about this in movies. You hear rumors that suitcase nukes and other weapons have made their way out of the former Soviet Union, and they fall into someone's hands. But it's not the people, in general, it's not the people who are being blamed for all the terrorism around the world, because those people are in Washington, D.C., and New York City, and various European countries. Those are the real terrorists. They work in banks. They work for insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, oil companies. So if you'd like to comment, I'll stop ranting.
No, I don't think you're ranting, Don. I think it's a very serious topic. And, you know, a nuke the size small enough to fit in a suitcase may not have what they call a very high yield ratio. You're probably talking about, you know, a few kilotons. But the point is that not only would it do horrific damage, even at ground level, but they're usually dirty bombs. And, you know, you wind up with a huge amount of fallout, a lot of radiation problems, people dying from cancer and radiation sickness, as well as the ones who are in the immediate vicinity of the blast shroud. The point is, though, that planting one of these things with the intent to take out, you know, a few hundred thousand people is certainly an indication of the type of mentality, heartless and soulless individuals that you're dealing with. Just imagine 23, you know, and it's done without any concern. I mean, there's just, it's the thing to do. And you don't see any remorse. You don't see any concerns for the effects that it's going to be on the environment or on humanity in general. And, you know, they're so stupid, they don't realize that it also affects even them and their offspring. It's amazing that they actually can consider themselves separate somehow from the chaos and problems that they are attempting to cause. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when people have that mentality, it's like an escapism mentality. It's indicative of being mentally unhinged. They're not even in full possession of their faculties, because they can't see the ramifications of what they're planning. They're so focused on the immediate task at hand, which is just ruthless, mindless destruction of human life, that they don't even put themselves in the picture that they're creating. And so, you know, realize you're dealing with not only mentally incompetent people, but people with no morals whatsoever. And I don't see why fellow human beings should have any scruples whatsoever when it comes to purging the planet of this type of vermin. You know, the very fact that they would do this or attempt to do it is all the license we need to get rid of them.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And take their laws and make them null and void, because it was all done corruptly. You know, people don't have a problem dealing with sensible laws. You know, the Creator gave us a handful of laws to follow that would take care of any possibility of a law being violated. And yet they had to create millions and millions of laws, and they're still busy creating them. But ask one of them, ask one of these old farts that's been in Congress since the moon came up the first time, and ask him to recite a law to you and see if he can do that. You know, but I'm sure he could rattle off some phone numbers from Barney Frank's pedophile ring, his pedophile brothel, You know, these people are disgusting. They're full of themselves. Absolutely full of themselves and corrupt from top to bottom. If people knew just about the secret bank accounts that they have in Switzerland and in the Vatican, some with more than $1 billion. And then you wonder why the courts are corrupt. You wonder why they're trying to sneak legislation inside of a bill that they know no one's going to read. They still haven't read the Patriot Act. It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, you're right. These are psychopaths. In fact, that we should redo the dictionaries when they're gone. We should put their pictures in place of the words. You know the definitions. I mean.
Well, I knew what you meant. The only problem with that is, you know, that I wouldn't want to be responsible for endearing these people to future generations, even by the mechanism of an insult. They should just be totally obliterated.
Yes. Now there's all this talk, you know, this concern about being politically correct. First of all, name one thing that a politician does that's correct before we start to mimic politicians. So, you know, the term political correctness is nothing but an oxymoron.
Well, it's also just become a buzzword. You know, it's like the people don't even think about it, about what it really implies. You know, they just hear something and say, oh, you know, you can't talk like that. That's politically incorrect. Well, give me a break. I'll say what I want to say.
Yeah. Now, there were people in New York, people in Los Angeles, complaining about the fact that that Muslims want to build mosques. Why this sudden interest to build mosques in America? Is it because of all the infiltration that's going on? You know, number one, they create these wars, and then they, under the pretext of getting asylum, fleeing the country, fleeing the war zone, they bring everybody here. I mean, there's a procedure for that. This country has operated under that procedure outside of the infiltration into the government and into the corporations and the educational system and the religious system. But they're in the intel agencies. They're in all these side agencies that they have created, which is nothing more but more corruption. They're not doing any job other than to try to squash us under their feet. That's the job that they're doing. I went back and listened to an old clip that I did, Jim, of a couple of years ago. And I actually predicted the things that are going on right now. And, of course, I was referring to the no-legged Mac Daddy. What we have going on right now was predicted several years ago while he was running for the presidency. I sounded the alarm. And verbatim, everything that I said has occurred or is in the process of being finalized.
It's a shame you don't have access to that clip. It would be worthwhile to play it.
Well, it's not that I don't have access to it. It's not right at my fingertips now. But I probably should look it up and play it next week. You would get a kick out of it. But going back to this issue on mosques, you know, we've not been told the truth about 9/11. We have figured out what's happened on 9/11. People around the world have done some very fantastic research revealing the truth about what's going on. What happened, who profited from it. And the average person is not interested in that. So they're going to look to the TV. And the TV, the media, mainstream media, likes to sensationalize everything. So they have to show people on the ground praying in front of a building in New York City, not too far from Ground Zero, and the people there are incensed. You're telling us, first of all, their statement is a lie. I'm not saying Muslims are our enemies, but you can certainly groom anybody to become an enemy. It doesn't matter what ethnic group they come from or what country they're from. If you mind control them, drug them, chip them, torture them, you can pretty much create any kind of being you want. And then they program them to carry out specific acts, because those are the ones that have to take the fall for when they get caught, when someone gets caught. Now, the story I told about Jerusalem and this craft coming down and disabling a nuclear weapon in the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount, that event was a Trojan horse type event. Okay? Now, you open up mosques here under the pretense of religious freedom, that's the holiest place they have over there. That's allegedly where Muhammad ascended into heaven on his horse. And they would be willing to blow that up with a nuclear weapon and destroy all of Jerusalem too? So something doesn't sound quite right there. I mean, that's the event that occurred. But if they're willing to do that, and they're willing to do that against the Israelis as a retribution for them having stolen the mosque, that's why it was planted there. In other words, if they kick them out and don't allow them access to that building anymore, they intended to set it off. What's to prevent the same thing from happening in New York City? Or really any other building? It doesn't have to be a mosque, but that sort of adds some drama to it, you see, because then someone else can be blamed for it. And then who is the real enemy? Is it the Muslims who are basically trying to protect what they consider to be theirs historically? Who is the real enemy? Who controls the media? Who controls the banks? Who controls the Congress and the White House? Who controls them? There's the guilty party right there. And we know who that is. So it's not even an issue of being politically correct. It's just seeing it for what it is. The writing's all over the wall. Your comment, Jim.
Well, I agree with you 100%. It should be pretty obvious who the enemy is. The enemy is the silent operator in the whole situation that's the only one that ever profits from all these things. You know, and it goes all the way back to some of the major conflicts that this earth has endured. You know, who really profited from World War II, from World War I, from the Spanish-American War, you know, from Korea, from all these things? You know, the real crime in all of this is the fact that not only do these people make untold fortunes supporting the warring factions, but then they make even more money when the country rebuilds, when both countries rebuild, depending on who it is that's fighting whom, because they lend the money for that as well. And they do all of this without any regard whatsoever for the hundreds of thousands, and possibly by this time, many, many millions of people who lose their lives. And, you know, I realize that it's such an incredible gap of credibility, you know, to the average person who has morals and who has a heart, for them to accept that there are monsters on this planet who literally plan the annihilation of thousands, tens of thousands, so that they can put money in their coffers. And I think that it's such a far-out idea to the average person, to the little person who is only interested in loving his family, engaging in his career, and living a reasonably happy life. They just can't bridge the gap and imagine that there are monsters, subhumans, that have no qualms whatsoever about annihilating hundreds of thousands of people in any way, shape, or form that produces a profit for them. And this is one of the reasons why they're still here. It's because they're so different that they do, in fact, represent, even if you can't see them, by their actions, they represent a totally different species from humanity. Because no healthy, normal human being could ever think of such a thing. It's one thing to punch a guy in the nose, you know, over a difference of opinion about something, and it's a totally another story to be responsible for the annihilation of hundreds of thousands of human beings. And that's what you're up against. On the one side, you've got the actual literal enemy who, like cockroaches, you know, scurry around in the darkness so that you can't see who they are or what they're really doing. But the flip side of that is the fact that the normal, healthy, reasonably healthy human mind can't accept that such beings as those can exist. And so therefore they block it out. They refuse to accept it. And as a result of that, the evil perpetuates. It's a very, very sticky problem, Don.
Yeah, we in the past few weeks, you and I dealt with this issue from a term, from a perspective of consciousness and how one can wake up. How, if one truly desires to see the truth and wake up to a different reality, it's not all that difficult. Anyone can do it, but it does take a decision. You have to decide to do it, and then you have to take the action that leads you to that. Plenty of people have done it. This is not some new fad that just sprung up out of the ground. It's been around forever. It's all over the universe. And this is what really gets my goat, too, is they run out of ideas. I mean, there's no rogue planet on the way to crash into the Earth. Wake up, people. Wake up. I guess they could make a movie about flying pizzas, and then they could tell everybody that this gigantic pizza's about to cover the Earth, and everybody's going to suffocate, and half the people will die from fear. Oh, now they're saying there's a second sun that's going to appear here. Why is this? Does the sun we have now work ineffectively? Does it have problems? It's just another reason. What is this supposed to mean? So what if there was another sun? So what? What can you do about it? What can I do about it? We can't do a thing about it.
Well, not only that, but let's assume for a moment that there is another sun. You know, in the old days, they used to talk about a dark sun. Mm-hmm. At the opposite epicenter of the eclectic, you know, simply because it would give symmetry to the system from an energetic point of view. But let's assume there was one. Well, guess what? The same creator that made everything else put it there, so why on earth would you worry about it?
Exactly. That's the point I'm making. Or that there were asteroids coming here to hit the Earth. However, They'll probably hit in 2036. you know, this place may not even be around then, you know.
Well, at the rate that we're going, it won't.
But it's There are all kinds of objects flying around in space. There's certainly a big garbage dump with all the satellites and surveillance devices that they put up in space. And they have a lot more than one telescope. Yet,
yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised which way they're trained either.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So it's just one lie after another. And they make sure that the disinfo agents are given a podium to stand on and cameras and a microphone or a bullhorn so everybody hears them. And I keep saying to myself, when are people going to wake up and realize they just pulled this 3 months ago? Or this batch of emails came out 3 months ago. Do you not read your email? I'm not saying you have to read it necessarily, but you profess to be after the truth. You can't recall what somebody said or sent to you 3 months ago. You know, I did a show a few weeks ago called "We Have Short Memories," and we do. People don't have an attention span. They can't stay focused on one thought or one idea, one concept for more than a few seconds, if that long. And you have to wake them up, first of all, to get them to look or listen. They want everything done for them. They want someone to tell them the story. They don't want to use their imagination. They want pictures. They don't want to hear the truth. They want special effects and sounds. And throw in some music so they can tap their feet. Or get goosebumps. And I suppose if someone were to make a movie of this event that occurred on the 28th of January in Jerusalem over the Dome of the Rock, they would have to have a few sex scenes in it. They would just have to do that, and some car crashes.
Yeah, and the cars would all explode, too.
Yeah, which they usually don't in an accident. Only in the movies. See, this temptation of putting these images of death before your eyes, so it ramps up the fear, and then they're going to come and save the day. Problem, reaction, solution. Well, their time is running out. Let's put it that way. Their time is running out. And they know it. That's why they're so desperate right now. Look at Egypt. This event in Egypt began 3 days before the one in Jerusalem. Almost as if it was, well, we planned on doing it. We better do it now. And then you have the media not reporting any truth on what's going on here in America, but they all go over there to Egypt, and they all have this story of being accosted by the people. They're lucky the Americans don't do that to them. They wouldn't even be able to go to Egypt. And it's like the lies that the media told on 9/11. It's the same thing. I could care less if Anderson Cooper had a car crash or not, or if somebody punched him in the mouth. I know a lot of people that would like to punch him in the mouth. And all of his other cohorts. But, you know, this is supposed to be such a dangerous place to be. What are we supposed to feel sorry for them? Is this why they present these stories to us? The big bad TV anchorman got in an argument with somebody. We should feel really bad for this person. The person that lies to us 24/7 on the boob tube. Following a script that comes from the government, our benevolent government. Those are very easy dots to connect. You know, they're not difficult.
No, they're not difficult. But you know what's interesting about it, though? The more I delve into this, the more I become familiar with certain trends in the way minds work. I'm reading, as I told you on a couple of shows ago, I'm reading some really fascinating books that address the issue of consciousness, and a couple of them do it from a very, very different perspective. There's this one book that was actually written by a very famous martial artist, and the reason I like this book is not only because of what he's saying, but he gives you mental exercises to do, which if you actually take the time to do what he suggests, changes your perspective. You start to see things from a different point of view. And that's really what all of this is actually about. You know, maybe we've been using words that are a little too highfalutin when we talk about the fact that we're interested in engendering a change in consciousness. You know, when you have suddenly a different point of view while you're still examining, you know, the same stimuli that you were before, that is a shift of consciousness. It's a point of view that you didn't have before, requires an alteration of what you're conscious of. And the interesting thing is he gives exercises, and some of them are so simple that they're very profound. I'll share one with you. He says, pick up this, you know, the book that you're reading. He says, hold the book that you're reading in your hand and tell me what you're actually, what's actually going on. And, naturally the first thing you think of is, well, I'm reading a book, I'm holding it in my hand. But then when you start to contemplate it a little bit more, you realize that, well, you're not really holding the book in your hand. That's your conception of what you believe you're doing. But in reality, there are, you know, 10 little points on your two fingertips, on the fingertips of both your hands, which are in contact with 10 little points on the surface of the book. And the real sensation that you have is one of molecular pressure against your fingertips. And that has absolutely nothing to do with reading a book. But because of the fact that you know what your objective is, you fill in all the other material from a vast library of secondary experiences that are not necessarily related to what the question was, but you bring in the information to sort of fill in the blanks and make yourself comfortable so that you have a continuum in your reality. And that's exactly what you have to undo in order to see things from a different perspective. So he gives all of these little exercises like that one there, where you're slowly guided to the realization that you might be holding the book from your immediate perspective simply because that's what your belief system says. But then you can go down and examine it on a different level and another different level until finally you wind up with a situation where you have, you know, intermolecular forces that are generating a sensation in your fingertips. And that's a whole different way of looking at the same phenomenon. What he's trying to exemplify is the fact that our perception of reality is often buffered by things we unconsciously draw into our perception to sort of fill in the blanks. And you have to learn not to do that if you want to see the truth. And the reason that I brought this up right now is because that's exactly what you're describing, in a sense, when you talk about all of these events that we were just reporting on. You know, you're going to see the truth. You can't be filling in the cracks and the gullies from your perception pool. You have to strip all of that away and just see what's really there. And that's a hard thing to do unless you extend the effort, because your mind does it automatically. As a matter of fact, the very very nature of seeing things does that for you. You know, if you stare at a picture or if you stare at a scene or an object, you really don't see what you see in your mind. Your eyes report a whole series of different electrical impulses to the brain, and then you fill in the blanks for the comfort of the reality you've established for yourself. So we do this unconsciously as part of the reality that we accept. But that's actually taken advantage of by these monsters, and we have to learn to perceive what's really there without filling in the blanks to make things comfortable for ourselves. And I think everybody that's really interested in learning the truth should start messing around with these types of consciousness-expanding exercises. Your comments on that, Don?
Well, I agree with what you just described. Also, what came to mind while you were talking, Jim, was my recollection of the scene from The Wizard of Oz when the wizard was casting his image on a wall in a circle of light. And you see this head and this beard. As I recall, it was a goatee, I think. So it was sort of like the sorcerer image. And the voice was being modulated to sound very big and very evil and threatening and authoritative and all these things. And little Toto went over. Toto was a Scottish terrier, if I recall, and pulled down the curtain and exposed this guy, pulling all kinds of levers and talking into the microphone and producing special effects, steam and smoke and all of this. And he looked back. I recall him looking back a couple of times. And then he noticed Dorothy and her buddies standing behind there. And that represents the truth. It represents the uncloaking of the truth that's been hidden. All one has to do is pull that curtain. Even a little dog can do it.
And then the interesting follow-up was that when the wizard looked over his shoulder and saw that he had been exposed, he then created from the projected image on the wall a set of instructions to try and cover his behind. And he says, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're getting that instruction all the time. Yeah, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, that's the government. That's industry. That's the banks, which is really nothing but a conglomeration of secret societies and Satanists doing their alchemical magic on everybody else. And it's falling apart. It's obvious it's falling apart. They can't even deliver the news about the corruption without leaving out the word corruption. You know, they have to blame somebody. They won't blame the illegal immigrants coming into the country, tens of millions of them. They won't take the fall for it. Because that will cut off that channel that they've established or funnel that they've established for kickbacks. And they can do that on a government agency level, local level, county level, state level, or on a federal level. That's just one aspect of the corruption. Or they want to blame the people that couldn't pay for their houses. Well, is that the truth? Is that a true story? Maybe there were always people behind on their house payments ever since they gave out loans. there have always been people behind. But suddenly this was a disaster that caused an insurance company to go under and a brokerage firm. What did they have to do with those mortgages? You see, as the curtain comes back, as Toto pulls on the curtain, all of this corruption gets revealed. And that's just scratching the surface. You've got wars going on, like in Afghanistan. And the ancient history there, and that's very similar to why they're in Iraq. And the caveat on the side, the poppy fields, allows them to finance everything that they're financing the money with anyway, besides lining their own pockets. What's going on in space is the ultimate issue that people are going to have to confront eventually. And space is everywhere. It's not just away from here. It is here. We are in space. So why would it be so ridiculous to see a craft from another part of this galaxy, or even from the solar system? Why would it be so outrageous? Why does that have to be debunked? Well, because it's the truth. They're into debunking the truth. Now, my research as an investigative journalist and a talk show host, my research is geared towards showing people the truth and comparing it to the stories that we were told before we found the truth. See? So we can determine that history basically has been one big fat lie from top to bottom. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, the very mechanism of so-called history.
I'm sorry, Jim, you were morphing a little bit. Could you repeat that?
I said the very mechanism of history itself, if you're aware of it, rather than just swallowing it, actually teaches you exactly what you just said. Because let's look at any event you want in history. The War of 1812, for instance, if you want to look at that. And then just imagine if the British had won instead of us, how would that be described? You know, you have to bear in mind that the events that are reported upon are always tainted by the feelings, the aspirations, and the intentions of the victors who record that chapter of history. And if you're willing to accept that, then you must realize that the same mechanism holds true on smaller and smaller fragments of history until you get down to the so-called daily news, which is history in the making. What the heck is the difference? Anything can be molded, you know, and written the way they want you to see it. And that's one reason you never, ever see me reading a newspaper. I mean, I'd rather be shoveling horse dung. What in the world is the point? And yet people just eat it up. They don't seem to realize that it's all part of the program, literally. Same thing with the news broadcasts. You know, we don't have any conception of how drastically different the truth is from what you're being presented, simply because you have nothing to contrast it with, and they know this. You know, that's the whole point. If you really want to think about it, what is it that allows you to learn anything? It's not knowing something and then finally been giving, you know, an answer. But if you're only shown one thing and you have nothing to contrast it with, then actually no information has actually been delivered to you. And that's, you know, that's something that I think goes right over people's heads. You would never know what black was if it wasn't for white. You wouldn't know what cold was if it wasn't for heat. It's the same story. These are all facets of consciousness. And, you know, we take them for granted. So then when you tell somebody, you have to really study this phenomenon and undo it in order to figure out what the truth is, they're actually ill-equipped to do that because they've been accepting without concern the so-called truth probably all their lives. So I realize it's a daunting task, but on the other hand, if you don't do it, it represents a form of surrender. And then you have no right to complain about whatever comes down the track.
Well, we're almost out of time. I'm going to make a musical transition here for a second, and I think it's appropriate because, you know, we're dealing with the dark and the dark side, if you want to call it that, dark energies, dark beings. And as soon as you cast a little bit of light on them, like cockroaches, they scurry to hide. And they plan their escape routes pretty well, but they don't always cover all the tracks. And of course, you only need to catch one of them trying to get underneath the baseboard and you have an idea where they went. I'm going to play a song called El Farol, which in Spanish means the lantern. Somehow I felt tonight, Jim, that a minor key was more appropriate. It's a very pretty song, The Lantern. You know, all you need to start seeing what's in the dark is to light a lantern. You don't need a big spotlight. That's how they do things. They like to make things dramatic. It's pretty simple what's going on, folks. And they're again, pulling the hood over your eyes, trying to obfuscate the truth, trying to come up with a pretext to start another war. And if you wonder who's behind it, they're the ones that complain when they don't want to see you pray in school, or they don't want to see you with your hand over your heart when you say the national anthem, or when you want to practice your religion, but it's different from theirs. And they're funded by the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the DuPonts and all the Illuminati families. And they run the brokerage firms and the media. And they bribe your elected officials across the country. They put people in prison or they put them in a mental institution and drug them with their alchemical substances, which they obtain by creating wars in foreign countries. The amount of theft of your money and your quality of life is obscene, and still many remain asleep. Jim, if you'd like to make a closing comment, I would sure like to hear what you have to say.
Well, I think that we've come a long ways with all this stuff. You and I started off talking about, you know, the unutilized inventions of Nikola Tesla about 3 or 4 years ago. And, of course, we also know that that in itself represents a different form of consciousness. But then we precipitated this all down, you know, as we explored the various facets of our everyday life, including the things that are done to us by the organizations that run the world, until we finally have now gotten to the root of the whole thing, which is the consciousness and how it's manipulated. And for anybody that has the real spark of freedom in their soul, I would imagine you'd want to be free from being manipulated and controlled. And so the best mechanism for allowing you to do that is to understand your own consciousness and how it's being used against you. So I'm going to continue on with these new books that I'm reading, Don, and see what I can learn, because after all, you never know too much. There's never such a thing as coming to the end of knowledge. And every time that I think that I've found something that's a real pearl, I'll be happy to share it with our listeners. But they have to then go out and duplicate my efforts if they expect to see something different. Listening to my voice or to your voice will not instill change in their consciousness or in their lives. And that's my little message.
Well, I guess that does it for my radio show. No, I'm just joking. No, I agree with what you said. They haven't even, in many cases, met their consciousness. They've met an illusion that's been created, a program, and they're trapped in that program. Some call it inside the box. Some call it the Matrix. But it's a program, TV programs, radio programs, computer programs. They even give you a program when you go to a concert so that you don't shout out your favorite song to the symphony orchestra or your favorite concerto. It has to have their control, their stamp of approval on it, their methods. I divulged earlier this week from the testimony of two alleged former KGB agents who defected to the United States, who were in the media, and the very same media for who they worked, which was admitted to be part of the KGB, just released some more fear-mongering articles this week. And everybody started sending the emails. Asteroids are coming, and the suns are coming, and planets are coming. They still haven't said the kitchen sink is coming. I guess that's next. But the fear that people are senselessly experiencing, because this is all made up stuff. And if you look at the fact that life in a larger context is nothing but an illusion, it's all an illusion. Even this radio show is an illusion. But it's the closest thing probably to who you are that you've had all week in everything else that you do, unless you're in pursuit of finding the truth and creating, as the creator that you were intended to be, your reality. If your reality is to have someone else run your life for you and tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and then charge you for it, there's nothing we can say that will open your eyes or your ears or your mind or your heart. There's nothing we can say. Jim is right in his closing comment. The sad part is you have to do it. And everybody, maybe it's the chemtrails, maybe it's just the prescription drugs or the toxins in the food and water. Maybe it's just that. But if you can't even come to grips with that, these other concepts are way beyond your pay scale. You'll never get to it. It's time to wake up now. I agree wholeheartedly, Jim, with what you had to say. And I want to thank you for being on the show and to let the listeners know you will return next Friday, as you always do.
Well, that's my goal. And I look forward to interacting with you and hopefully delivering more worthwhile information to whoever is listening.
Okay. And you have a great weekend and a good night, my friend.
Thank you, sir. The same to you.
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And my regular guest, but always a special guest, Mr. Jim Murray. I want to thank Windtalkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio. We have Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight and also helping us resolve our technical issues. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me next Monday when my special guest will be Dr. A. Truant. Have a great weekend. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.